During executive appointments, for the chair to adjust the order of that agenda depending upon when people can appear or not appear before the committee. We actually have a very pleasant appointment to deal with as our first appointment, not that they're all not pleasant. But Governor Roberts, would you please come forward, and would the committee administrator just give a brief overview?
Yes, Governor Roberts has been appointed to the Columbia River Gorge Commission, which has responsibility over the Columbia River Gorge Compact and the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Act.
Governor Roberts, at your leisure.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Senators, plural, barely. As you heard, I'm Barbara Roberts, and I'm here before you this morning as the governor's appointment to the Columbia River Gorge Commission, and I ask for your support in the Senate confirmation process. As a fifth-generation Oregonian, I have traveled the Columbia River Gorge hundreds of times. I am familiar with its splendor, of course, its natural resources, its cultural history, and its communities. I have boated there, picnicked there, and taken countless photos there and introduced my children and grandchildren to what I think of as a Northwest treasure. As governor, I also had many opportunities to examine the economic possibilities in the gorge area for tourism, port activities, agricultural and timber products, international trade, and the very early beginnings of a high technology industry that has expanded in that region. When Congress created this first ever National Scenic Area Act, and when President Reagan signed it into law, they entrusted the states of Oregon and Washington with a unique piece of legislation and an even more unique area of civic, recreational, natural, and cultural wonder. My willingness and excitement about serving on this commission is based on my belief that I bring commitment, energy, experience, and knowledge that will aid the important work of the Gorge Commission. I would accept this role with this pledge to you: to work hard, to listen openly, to serve actively, and to adhere to the letter and the spirit of the federal act. So I thank you for your consideration today, and I am, of course, open for your questions.
Thank you, Governor Roberts. For the sake of the record, when I opened this hearing, I opened a public hearing on all appointments. We are not in work session yet. We will not go into work session until we have completed the interviews of all parties this morning. Senator Metzger, any questions?
I do. Thank you, Governor, for being willing to serve. As you know, my district covers the gorge and the most controversial areas of the gorge, from Troutdale to Wasco County. And in my now 11 years in the legislature, I have witnessed a lot of things that involve the Gorge Commission and my constituents there. And a lot of them were not very pleasant. There's a lot of pushback from people in the gorge about people who don't live there think this is their private playground, and it created a lot of controversy. And with the commission, some of the rulings that were very high profile early on created some issues. And I think that in the last 5 or 6 years especially, the commission has really done a great job and has had great leadership, I think, compared to perhaps some earlier times, and working more collaboratively with the community on that. And as you mentioned about the federal legislation that created the Gorge Commission, and I guess one of the key issues that you always hear about is that one of the key components of the federal law was economic development, and a lot of for the communities there, and a lot of the pushback is that sometimes previous Gorge Commissions have always looked at the protectionism side and ignored the fact that it was a balance of economic development. And I was just curious about, in terms of your philosophy, as you look at that balance, and Senator Hatfield was so active in putting in the case and has made it very clear that it was a balance to make sure that these communities, whether it's Cascade Locks or Hood River, can be economically viable within those urban areas that are designated, while protecting the vast land that is so beautiful for all of us. I just kind of like your philosophy on that.
Well, let me see if I can answer that for you, Senator Metzger. The The original legislation obviously had a component of economic development. There's no question about that. In fact, originally there was an authorization for $10 million, $5 million for each side of the river for economic development in the urban areas, the 13 cities and towns that are part of the urban sections of the Gorge Act. And in looking at some of the things that have occurred there over the last number of years, I mentioned high technology, clearly one of the things that's growing dramatically in the urban areas of the Gorge. The work the ports have done in the last number of years and the cooperation in both of those situations with the Gorge Commission is very high right now. And unfortunately, that economic development money is not available as easily as it once was, unless we can get in the stimulus package. But I think the clarity that was in the design, the management plan that said, you know, these urban areas can do economic development, and the commitment on the part. I met with the executive director yesterday, and we talked about the economic development piece. It's not just about tourism, and it's not just about using the river for river sports and those kinds of things, but really looking at some of the issues that are there right now and the potential that's there right now. And I would tell you that one of the things I just recently read, and you may have seen the article in the Oregonian about the wind wind technology program for new engineers at the community college in the Dalles. And I think they said in the spring term they're turning out 72 new graduates from those programs, and they're certified to work on those big wind turbines. But they need about 500 or 600 of those engineers, and the monies for the community college to have the lab space and the staff to do that training is not there yet, at least. And so I think it is the combination of understanding the preservation part of this and that the role within those urban areas for economic development and the opportunity that the commission has to be a partner in working on both of those issues. And they're both equally important in my mind. So I think if you look at some of the things that have happened in the last, say, decade in the gorge, Skamania County, I believe, now has the highest tourism per capita of any county in Washington State. So obviously something has happened there in that department. And if you watch what's happening in the aeronautics area, the high technology area, some of the new international trade that has happened out of the gorge, and a lot of that came with the cooperation of the economic development departments in both states and the work of the commission to work with them. So I think that's the kind of cooperation we ought to have and the kind of commitment we ought to have to both sides of the Gorge Act.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you, Governor Roberts, for being willing to serve, and look forward to your collaborative work as you have demonstrated in your career and your great expertise in a lot of these areas, bringing that to the Gorge Commission.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Governor, I just want to thank you personally for being willing to step up on this crucial commission. I think, you know, sometimes when we're in an economic situation the way we are now, sometimes short-term decisions get made that are not in people's benefit in the long term. And you have a strong record as a really I consider you a very pragmatic conservationist, but definitely a conservationist. And the gorge is one of those areas that, you know, once we lose anything in the gorge, it's gone forever. And so I feel very, as a citizen of Oregon, a fourth generation Oregonian, I feel very uplifted that you're willing to take this on. And I don't have any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator, for your kind remarks. I just would like to say I have a friend who I'm actually going to his memorial service this afternoon, so it's very close to my heart right now. But when I told him that I was going to seek the appointment, on the Columbia River Gorge Commission. He said, what are you thinking of? You don't have enough scar tissue? So, but, you know, and that may be in fact true. There is some scar tissue in that work. But I think the work is so important, and it's a place I hope I can make a big contribution. And I have a lot to learn. It is a very complex role that commission is, but I intend to study hard and work hard, and hope that my service there will help on both sides of the river, both economically and environmentally.
Thank you, Governor Roberts. I think all of us appreciate your willingness to serve on this commission, and obviously you have given a great deal to the state. It's kind of, I won't recall the number of years that you've been doing things on behalf of the state, because that might be inappropriate, but you are still finding ways to serve, and finding ways to serve in very profound, with very, hopefully very profound impacts. So again, appreciate you being here today.
Thank you very much.
Senator Ferrioli, did you have any comments? I know that you've just
only to welcome Governor Roberts, and to appreciate her work on the sesquicentennial board.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I do, Senator, miss your cowboy hat today, however. He looked quite handsome on Saturday. So.
Thank you. Some wags asked me, commented on my outfit, and I said, what outfit?
He's from John Day.
Just a hat.
Well, thank you very much,
thank
Governor.
You very much. Thank you.
We will now go on to our next appointment. Former Representative Greg McPherson to the Land Conservation and Development Commission. Will the committee administrator please give a brief report, and then we'll go to you.
Yes, Mr. McPherson has been nominated to the Land Conservation and Development Commission. The LCDC adopts statewide land use policies and land use goals, and also directs the director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development.
Okay. Former Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I am Greg McPherson, for the record. By occupation, I'm a lawyer at the law firm of Stoll Reeves, LLP, and have been there for over 30 years. And in addition to my service here in the building that was already been referred to with my former title, I am actually a former member and chair of the Multnomah County Planning Commission. I served on that commission in the early 1980s at the time when the original comprehensive plan was developed in compliance with Senate Bill 100 and our statewide system of land use planning. And it's partly based on that experience of having overseen the approval of a plan in the early days of the statewide land use planning program that makes me enthusiastic about taking on this new public service responsibility, serving on the Land Conservation and Development Commission, and bringing that experience and perspective to the statewide issues of the program. So I'm enthusiastic about taking this on and would appreciate your support in that process.
Thank you. This is kind of an interesting appointment because we already held a public hearing last year. I could have made a decision as chair not to hold another public hearing, but because it would have set a precedent in the fact that what basically happens with gubernatorial appointments is at the end of the calendar year, they expire. So in effect, the governor has put you forward for a second time in this year, and I did not want to set the precedent of not holding a public hearing because that has been our practice in the past. I'm fully supportive of your appointment. I've enjoyed working with you in the legislature. I'm hoping that I enjoy working with you for years to come. I do know that our last hearing was a very long hearing and very pointed on a number of different issues. So I'm going to open this up for questions at this time and see how many questions there are. So any questions for former Representative McPherson? Senator Ferrioli, you're looking at me.
Mr. McPherson, I appreciate the fact that the chair has brought you back. I can understand the logistics of that. I think the chair has made a wise decision. In our last public hearing on the potential appointment, we had a discussion about the work that was done on Measure 49. Members of mine in the Senate Republican caucus are still feeling very disrespected and disenfranchised about the fact that none of them were allowed to participate in the work group on Measure 49. And in our last meeting, you testified that you'd structured that work group so that there would be no triggering of the open meetings law. And I'm deeply disturbed by the idea that we have such critical work happening in the legislative process that seeks to avoid the very transparency Oregon prides itself on. You addressed that issue when you were here earlier and talked about structuring those meetings to avoid the operations of the open meetings law. So I won't go into that again today with my questions. But given the work that you did on Measure 49 and your obvious disaffection for Measure 37, is there any point in time as a commissioner on this commission that you would, in consideration of your ethics, recuse yourself because of your positions either on Measure 49 or your antipathy to Measure 37?
Chair Devlin, Senator Farioli, the responsibility of the Land Conservation and Development Commission is to implement the laws of Oregon as they relate to the statewide land use planning system, and I will do that enthusiastically, implementing whatever direction we get from the people of Oregon and from the Legislative Assembly. It's within your power to shape that program in its broad parameters, and I, as a commission member, will carry it out. The process of recusing from decisions is a process that's appropriate where people have a financial stake in a specific decision. I think people bring perspective to their public service that it draws on their broad background, and I have a background with this program, as I described earlier, as a local planning commission member, and I will draw on that experience and make the decisions the best way I can.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It may be a fact at law, and I certainly would concede to you, because of your practice and history at the law, that conflicts of interest are only financial. But what I'm really interested in is the impartiality of folks that serve all Oregonians on the boards and commissions. And so you mentioned that you'd serve enthusiastically. How about impartially?
Senator Devlin, Senator Farioli, I will bring the same judgment to the decisions that face the commission that I brought to all my public service, which I think weighs the public policies at stake, the inputs that we get from the public, and make the best decisions I can for what I think is in the best interest of Oregonians. These are difficult issues, and sometimes we don't agree about what ought to happen. That's just the nature of a public process. But one needs to listen to all perspectives and then bring the information to bear to do what's right for the state.
Thank you, Mr. McPherson.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I am still of the impression that Representative McPherson has an absolutely stellar a set of qualifications for virtually every board or commission that the state has to offer, except this one. I simply feel that because of his family history with Senate Bill 100 and his advocacy for Measure 49, his antipathy for Measure 37, both passed by the citizens of Oregon, both still the law of Oregon. Measure 37 is still the law of Oregon. And because of the discussion we had earlier about structuring the public process to avoid the open meetings law, I just can't bring myself to support this applicant with his tremendous capabilities for this commission. I could see myself easily supporting Representative McPherson for any of the other commissions or boards of the state of Oregon. I simply feel he has no or future contribution that could be made in an impartial way in what arguably will be the board or commission that has some of the most difficult decisions to make and from whom we expect honest brokerage. It's just a personal feeling. I don't know if anybody else would agree with that. I don't want to characterize his service in any way as being anything but excellent. And I believe there are many, many places he could serve and will serve in the future of Oregon. This board is not one of those places. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, Senator Metzger.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McPherson, and thank you for being willing to serve. I disagree with my my good friend and colleague about service on this board, but I will say that because of your intimate knowledge and working on these issues, you probably bear a greater burden than a lot of other folks on that board as decisions come for you. And there's also, but I also see with your service there a tremendous opportunity. Because of your history. Actually, with all of our boards, a lot of them are very construed to have to specifically represent areas. We have four people that have to represent forestry on forestry. So, yes, they have a background and I guess one might would call a affinity for a particular viewpoint. And we try to put boards together directly with that, with people who have expertise, who some would say, favor different areas because that's the synergy, just like the legislative process, that make things work. But with things like our land use, with 37 and 49, both of which passed very strongly, the first one and then the other one, and what 49 did, and I know you were really instrumental in this, and I appreciate your leadership on it, was, Oregonians gave us a chance to say that what we said is what we're going to do and we're going to provide these things. And I just think it's a tremendous opportunity for you and for us as 49 gets implemented and as things come before the commission with your expertise and knowing what our intent as a legislature was for that to help fulfill what we said on the floor so that citizens validate our view on land use because its trust factor is so big. We certainly don't want to go back to a ballot box again because we didn't fulfill that. So I really don't have a question, Mr. Sherson. I just think that you're eminently qualified for that. I think you have a bigger burden of that because you do know so much, but it's a tremendous opportunity as well for Oregon to have you serve because of your experience there. So I'm very supportive of your nomination and appreciate your willingness to serve.
Thank you. Senator Burdick, anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think sometimes people forget one of your attributes that I think is particularly appropriate here, and that is that you grew up on a farm, and your family, your father, who was one of the chief sponsors of Senate Bill 100, came at it from the standpoint of a farmer, and a farmer who is working in an area of Oregon that has the highest pressure for development. And so there's a constant tension between the some of the most productive farmland in the world and these pressures for development. And you grew up in, understanding what makes a successful farm. And I think that the protection and preservation of farmland for farming, not necessarily for open space or anything else, but for actual farming, is a perspective that when I was on the commission from 87 to 93, we had a couple of farmers on there, and I thought their perspective was absolutely essential, and I hope you will continue to bring that in your role as a commissioner.
Chair Devlin, Senator Burdick, thank you very much for referring to another piece of my personal history, which is having grown up on a Linn County dairy farm, and so I know what it's like to make a living on the land. That's how my parents raised five children and sent them all to college. That was the sole business of the family. And I think the strength of our agricultural economy in Oregon today is in significant measure attributable to the foresight that people had back 30 years ago, 40 years ago, about the need to preserve the agricultural base of the state, and I'll bring that perspective. And as you say, a practical perspective about what does it take to keep a farm in operation.
Thank you very much, Mr. McPherson. I appreciate you coming here today. I appreciate all the service that you've given to the state. I think many of the people on the dais here know that you represented one half of my Senate district, and I think you did that very ably, and I was very pleased when I ran for the Senate, that you ran for the House seat and represented largely the same district that I represented before, although it had been reconfigured by that time. And I think we're both thankful that we have a solid replacement now in Representative Garrett.
So yes.
I appreciate your service and appreciate your future service.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. I think we can stay on time. Judith Cuneo for the Home Care Commission.
Ms. Cuneo has been nominated to the Home Care Commission. The Home Care Commission ensures the quality of home care services and also establishes qualifications and training requirements for home care workers.
Please proceed whenever you're ready, and you just need to say your name for the record.
Chair Devlin. Members of the Senate.
Good morning. My name is
Judy Cuneo.
I am
the self-advocacy coordinator. I am the self-advocacy coordinator for the Oregon Council on Developmental Disabilities. I have been in this position for 9 years. I'm also on the Oregon Disabilities Commission. I'm interested in serving on the Home Care Commission. For the following reasons.
I'm a part-time home care.
I receive part-time home care myself. And so I do have a personal interest in what is going on. The Oregon Disabilities Commission
is mandated to have a commissioner.
Is needing to have a commissioner
on the home care.
On the Home Care Commission. My job is to advocate for and helping people with developmental disabilities. To advocate for themselves. That includes the type of services that they have. This would give me another opportunity to do that. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Any questions from Ms. Cunningham? Thank you very much for coming here today. We will take action on your appointment a little bit later. Okay. The next person up will be Karen Shimada for the Commission for Women. If you could please give a staff report.
Yes, the Women's Commission analyzes the legal status of women and men under the laws of Oregon relating to a variety of issues, monitors their implementation, and educates women about their legal rights, among other duties.
Thank you very much, Chair Devlin, Senators, members of the committee. My name is Karen Shimada, and my home address is 5826 Northeast 31st Avenue in Portland. I'm the Executive Director of Life by Design Northwest, which is a community collaborative project to help people in transition as they're navigating mid-career work and home changes. I'm also the President-elect of the Oregon Gerontological Association, and my background is in public health and gerontology. I'm very excited about this opportunity to advocate for women in our state, particularly those who may be in midlife career transition, older, or in frail circumstances. Age and gender discrimination are still prevalent, and we need a stronger voice in our society on behalf of women who are working hard to take care of their families and children, their aging parents, and working full-time. With the possibility of retirement almost pushed even further back, services for women, access to education, and opportunities for retooling, re-careering are so important. My work at Portland Community College is involved in lifelong learning, making short-term certificates available for individuals in need who may not have access to education earlier in their life, but now have an opportunity to develop a skill or get a certificate that will enable them to be employed. For all of these reasons, I'm very excited about serving on this board. I also bring a background in fundraising and development experience in nonprofit work, and I know that the Commission is very excited this year about planning some educational programs and forums and raising some money for the annual Women of Achievement Award in Oregon. So I'm looking very forward to offering those skills to the Commission. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today. This is my first time to do this, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Well, you've done very well. Any questions from the committee?
I have one for the chair.
Yes.
There are 11 members on the Commission for Women, and there's one man only, and that is the chair of this committee. And I was kind of wondering about Ms. Shimada, how she feels about working with the chair on this commission.
Oh, well, working with the chair, that's awesome. That's wonderful. I'm very excited about that. I actually think that it is good to have a voice male on our commission. I do believe it's important. Part of our role is to give women the tools that they can be advocates for themselves, but we're partners in our society and in our families and in our homes and communities, so I look very forward to working with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Senator Metzger, I might state for the record that I'm no longer on the Women's Commission, but I was the one male representative on the commission.
Oh, it still lists you as on the
still
thing.
Oh,
still lists me. No, I'm actually, that's been given to someone else.
Oh, well.
I might just note, Mr. Chair, that given the composition of your majority office, you're very comfortable in this kind of gender balance.
I better close off this discussion.
Thank you for serving.
Thank you very much,
Ms. Shimada. We have two male staff. Ms. Golding, State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Dr. Golding, please come forward. Yes.
The State Board of Chiropractic Examiners exercises supervision over the practice of chiropractic within the state. They establish standards and tests to determine qualifications and can provide disciplinary action for chiropractic licensed officials.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, Senators. Thank you for this opportunity. The Governor has appointed me to the Chiropractic Board, and I'm very honored to...
If you could just state your name for the record also.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Ann Goldine, and I'm honored to be in this position. I graduated from Western States Chiropractic College in 1980, and I've been in practice since 1981 in Astoria, and I certainly offer a rural perspective to the board. Also, I feel that I've been in practice long enough that I have pretty well seen everything that's happened politically, professionally, personally, that could happen in a person's adult life, and also that I'm not so old that I still care. I've served on many committees and boards in Astoria and do currently. I've been the last 3 years on peer review, which is a investigative board of committee of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and I've been active in the State Association. I also helped write the board's educational chapter on diagnostic imaging. I think that protecting the public is the primary, most important function of the board, and I think that we have many challenges and that they need to be addressed, that we stay at the highest ethical and financial above board standards that we can have. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Any questions for Dr. Wilden? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today.
Thank you.
Kirk Schuler to the State Board of Higher Education.
State Board of Higher Education appoints the Chancellor of the University System. They also appoint institution presidents. They establish admission qualifications, control the curriculum, and disperse the funds allocated for higher education, among many other duties.
Thank you. Schuler, if you'd please identify yourself for
the
record.
Absolutely. I'm Kirk Schuler, for the record. My address is 144 Northwest Vicksburg in Bend, Oregon. Good morning, Chair Devlin and committee members. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about the opportunity to serve on the State Board of Higher Education. My background is I'm currently employed in the real estate development and management and sales business. I've worked for Brooks Resources in Bend, a company that's been in the business for going on 40 years this year. Not that I've been there 40 years. I've been in Bend about 15 years. Before that, I lived in Portland and worked for KPMG Pete Marwick, an international auditing firm. There, I was a financial auditor, including a certified governmental auditor. So I have a fair amount of background in numbers and how operations work. I'm excited about getting involved in the higher ed system. My interests lie in higher ed, and that I'm a big believer in higher ed's impact on an economy and a quality of life, both for our state and in our region. So I am a product of the Oregon system. I graduated from the University of Oregon with a degree in accounting, and I have children in the system, so I have a vested interest. But there's a lot of challenges, as we know, a lot of things centered around budget, structural and organizational issues. I'm looking forward to the challenge of diving into these issues. I tend to be a quick learner. I try to take a big picture look. I try not to get lost in the forest. I'm goal-driven in the sense that I always like to know what the goals of the organization are in the decision process as we're going through those processes. So I believe I'm suited to sit at a board at that level, and I'm looking for your support. I appreciate the opportunity today to come before you, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have of me.
Any questions for Mr. Schuler? Well, Mr. Schuler, you have picked an interesting time to come on
yes,
the board.
Yes, I've been told. I read about it, too.
You have thousands and thousands of more students than you ever had before, and you have fewer dollars to serve them. So welcome to the, presuming we will take action soon on your appointment, you're going to have some challenges.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much for having me today.
So, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Committee, we're going to go to our last person for this morning, Mr. Norman Gruber, to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission.
The Patient Safety Commission Board is charged with improving patient safety by reducing the risk of serious adverse events occurring in Oregon's healthcare system.
Please state your name for the record.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Norman Gruber. I'm CEO of Salem Health. And I'm here as for the appointment to the Patient Safety Commission. I think I bring a great deal of experience in this area. We've done a lot of work at Salem Hospital over the last 5 or 6 years around patient safety and quality. I'm also chair of the Hospital Association and chair of their quality committee, and a real advocate for patient safety and quality. And I think as the commission is relatively new, I think there's some real opportunities to use this commission as a vehicle to educate the public on patient safety and quality around the state of Oregon.
Any questions for Mr. Gruber? Seeing none, thank you for coming here this morning, and thanks for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will, in just a second, go into work session. Can you see if Senator Farioli wants to return so he was recorded? Would you carry the group on the floor, including the governor?
Sure.
And Ginny, will you carry McPherson? Okay. I will open a work session on the executive appointments before us. And moving that the following appointments be moved to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Former Governor Barbara Roberts to the Columbia River Gorge Commission, Ann Goldine to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Kirk Schuler to the State Board of Higher Education, Judith Cuneo to the Home Care Commission, Norman Gruber to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors, and Karen Shimada to the Commission for Women. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the fact that in the spirit of efficiency, these are nominations are being made en bloc. If Governor Roberts' appointment were to be individual, I would be speaking in favor of her appointment, but I can do that en bloc as well, I suppose.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any objections? Motion passes. Senator Metzger, will you carry?
I will.
I am opening a work session and moving the appointments of Greg McPherson to the Land Conservation and Development Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objections?
I object, Mr. Chairman.
Please note that Senator Farioli objects. Any additional objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Burdick, will you carry?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm opening a work session moving that the appearances be waived and the following reappointments be moved to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Darren Huddleston and Jill Mason to the Oregon Board of Dentistry, Kirk Schuler to the State Board of Higher Education, James Brown to the State Parks and Recreation Commission, Jerry Hempel, Katie McEwen, and David Smith to the Board of Commissioners. Daniel Smith to the Board of Commissioners of the Oregon International Port of Coos Bay, Robert McKelvey to the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Any discussion?
Well, I just was wondering, just technically, we just heard from Mr. Schuler.
It's probably an appointment and reappointment.
That's
would
right.
be my guess.
Oh, okay.
Does that happen?
Okay. Technicalities, I don't know them all.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Senator Farioli, will you carry?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. With that concludes our business for today. There will be no meeting tomorrow. However, next week we are out of times for Tuesdays and Thursday meetings, so we can expect we probably will be meeting next Friday. With that, we are adjourned.